passing of the peace, my wife came over to me and said, "You could just read the songs for the teaching. That's exactly what you want to say." And she doesn't know what I want to say, but it is exactly what I want to say. I went in to meet last night, and she said, "What kind of music would you like tomorrow? What's the focus?" And I said, "Love." And I said, "Beyond that, just trust in the Spirit. I really could just read these songs."
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that true?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. And your prayers, this morning, is this distracting?
No.
it's necessary. old Baptist church. We used to have it.
It's the funeral home.
Right, with the fans, with the funeral home. Yes.
Yeah.
The little fans with the wooden thing. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know what the equivalent here would be. Maybe the new Ace Hardware store. The Ace Hardware fans.
Oh, wow.
Hope in relentless love. God is love. For us, Jesus is an embodiment of love, and our journey is to become an embodiment of love that changes the world. Hope in relentless love, love that doesn't give up, love that never stops, love that is God's own love and promise for us. Hope in relentless love. And when I hear your prayers about people who are being murdered and all the things that we see in the news, our capacity, our will to hope is more important than ever. Our will to hope in relentless love. One of the teachers of relentless love for me, and one of the really inspirations for me to stay the course, was Katie. And some of you knew Katie. Katie was a bird. Katie was a cockatiel, which is a kind of parrot. Katie lived with Elizabeth and I for a number of years. When Katie came to live with us, we adopted her. She had been abandoned. And one of the first things that I began to realize about Katie is that she was always staying in touch. She was always staying in communication. She flew free in the house. She had a cage, but that was a place of refuge for her. And we left the door open. And so when she needed to be alone and safe, she would go to her cage, but otherwise she was just around in the house. And I might be in one room and she might be in another room. And occasionally she would loud whistle, piercing whistle. And I learned that what she wanted was for me to whistle back, that we were to stay in touch. Are you okay? I'm okay. How are things there? Things here are fine. How are things in your room? And then there were the more assertive ways of being together. In the evening, sometimes we would have popcorn. And Katie would fly over and first sit in your lap and start sharing your bowl, pecking in the popcorn. And I don't know if you've ever watched a bird eat, but when they snap their bill down on something, part of it stays in their mouth, but a lot of it just kind of sprays. So all these little pieces of popcorn are falling in the popcorn bowl. And then she hops onto the side of the popcorn bowl so she can reach in better. And the final step is that she hops into the middle of the popcorn. At that point, the bowl is hers. She doesn't see it that way. She sees it as still sharing. But at that point, from my perspective, the bowl is hers. Another way that she brought us together, and I began to see that what she was doing was being relentless in her vision of us as her flock. Mm-hmm. We were her flock. And she behaved as though we were a flock persistently and consistently over years. She was relentless in behaving as though we were a flock. One of the other things that she did was when Elizabeth and I would sit down at the table with our plates food for dinner. I can remember one night, the first night that I became aware of this, Katie was sitting over in her cage in the corner of the room, and when the plates were down and we sat down, she flew over to the table and just started walking around looking at what was on our plates and taking what she wanted from one plate to the next. We were a flock. We were to share the food. And we began acting like a flock. We called back to her. We shared the food freely. But it was her. It was her persistence. It was her relentlessness in being who she was and of expecting us to be who we were that began to shape us as a flock. We have other models. That's a personal model for me. I doubt that it's a model for Elizabeth in the same way. That's a personal model for me. Jesus is our model of relentless love. Gordon Cosby was a model of relentless love. I was at a party last night, and I can't remember what inane conversation I got in. It was something, you know, it was so trivial that I found myself wondering, this is not something I care about at all. And my mind flashed to Gordon. I'm not sure Gordon ever had a trivial conversation in his life. You know, you walk up to him, and he doesn't say, hi, how are you? He may say, hi, how are you? But the next question is, what are you doing to further the kingdom today? Or, you know, his whole life was relentless in pursuit of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, the realm of God come to earth. And his hope lay in that. The hope that I came to see in a way through Katie is that God has embedded love in creation. Mm. That love is not just a feeling primarily. Love is a bond that God has embedded in creation. We call it love. But it's that which ties us in a way that we cannot escape and that is moving us relentlessly toward the kind of world that we heard about in Psalm 121 that Gail read. The world of Eden, the world of paradise, the world of the restoration of all things, the realm of God come to earth. That's our journey. And we have hope in part because that reality is embedded in creation. It's embedded in Katie's nature. So that even though she was not in the wild, she was never in the wild, she was born in captivity. But even though she was not in the wild, she was still bonding. She was still relentlessly seeking unity. Because it was her nature. That same reality is embedded in us. Sometimes it's harder to retain hope in it because of all the things that are so awful that are going on. But the prayer this morning had hope in it. The man right behind me, I don't even
William.
Know who it was exactly.
William.
Your prayer, William, today. You were praying this exact reality. You were saying these things are happening, but we know God will triumph. And part of my hope rests in what I now see as the fact that God has implanted this relentless love in creation. It's part of our nature to bond. And to bond across chasms. Katie bonded across the chasm of human and bird. You all have been working for decades to bond across various chasms in our society. Just recently, more articles about a new movement toward not having for-profit prisons anymore and for going back to a way of having incarceration that reminds me of Charles Campbell, who was an old member of Church of the Savior, and his experiment in a Texas prison where people, guards and people who were incarcerated were to be equals, who were to relate to each other as equals, and who had much greater freedom to fly around. They weren't in the cage all day. And the grand success of that short-lived experience before it was shut down, and you all carrying on that vision of what can be and persisting and being relentless in it. You all are part of what is resulting in this change in our country today. I look at you and the room is full, but when I think of the average church today, this would be a very small church. But what you all have embodied now for decades is a relentless love, a hope and a relentless love. And it's good to be home with you today.